support comes from Tub Cove. With over 49 years of remodeling bathrooms, Tub Cove can help simplify the process, offering tub and shower replacements and full bathroom remodels. Local and family-owned, with a showroom in Redmond. Designs and information at tubcove.com.
Hey, good morning. It's Paige Browning. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. The Black Panther Party's Seattle chapter is drumming up new plans more than 40 years after it disbanded. A group devoted to preserving Black Panther history plans to open a museum in Pioneer Square early next year, bringing attention to the ways the Panthers influenced Seattle then and still do now. Seattle Times race and equity reporter Alexandra Yoon Hendricks is here to tell us about it, with some help from Elmer Dixon, a founder of Seattle's Black Panther chapter. But first, let's get you caught up. Some workers in unincorporated King County could soon get a raise. The King County Council is considering raising the minimum wage for unincorporated areas such as Vashon, Skyway, and Cottage Lake to $20 an hour. Councilmember Girmay Zahalai introduced the measure, saying it'll bring these places into step with higher minimum wages in neighboring areas. Keep an eye out for Boeing news from the other Washington today. Senator Maria Cantwell's leading a federal hearing on Boeing's safety culture in D.C. this morning. A series of manufacturing flaws in Boeing planes has put scrutiny on how the feds oversee the airline industry, and some lawmakers have voiced support for stricter regulation. And Seattle City Council members are taking up the city's $241 million budget hole today. The city isn't bringing in as much as it's spending right now, largely due to rapid inflation over the past few years. Most of the increase in costs comes from the city's utility operators and its offices of Housing and Human Services. That's it for now. Come back tonight for evening headlines. On April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Seattle's Black Panther Party chapter was formed less than 3 weeks later. Two brothers, Elmer and Aaron Dixon, played a large part. Aaron was a student at the University of Washington, and he helped found the school's Black Student Union. Elmer did the same at Garfield High School in the Central District. The same week as King's assassination, Elmer and Aaron went to Oakland, California for a gathering of West Coast Black student unions, where the keynote speaker was Black Panther Party founder Bobby Seale. Seale was distraught at King's assassination and gave what Elmer described as a fiery speech. They also went to a funeral for a Black Panther that was Elmer's age, just 17, who'd just been killed by police. That trip inspired them to start Seattle's Black Panther Party chapter.
That experience kind of said, you know, we're ready to die, ready to fight this revolution. And so a week later, Bobby came to Seattle.
The Seattle chapter, the first one outside of California, was active from 1968 to 1978. The group followed the Black Panthers' 10-point program, a list of tenets that informed party activism throughout the country.
Point number one says we want freedom. We want the power to determine the destiny of our Black community. Point number two said we want full employment for our people. Point number three, we want housing fit for the shelter of human beings, and on and on and on.
Seattle's chapter also made its mark by providing free breakfast to children in marginalized communities, free pest control, and by opening up a medical center that's known today as the Carolyn Downs Family Medical Center. Elmer Dixon says he thinks it's especially important today to memorialize the impact that the party had in Seattle. He and his brother Aaron point to recent Republican-led book bans and curriculum changes targeting content about race and American history.
The history of the Black Panther Party, in particular in the United States, has always been distorted, if not totally covered up. It's our story to tell. It's our story to capture.
In an effort to recapture that history, the Seattle Black Panther Party Legacy Committee has secured a space in Pioneer Square to open an interactive museum with photos and artifacts and even a walking tour of Seattle's Black Panther history. Here to talk more about the upcoming museum and where to find reminders of the Black Panthers in Seattle is Seattle Times race and equity reporter Alexandra Yoon Hendricks. Hey, Alexandra. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Alexandra, Seattle's Black Panther chapter dissolved in 1978, but their impacts are all over the city. Where can people still see elements of the party around Seattle now?
While you can still see traces of the Panthers here, history is fragile. Mm-hmm. The second Black Panther Party headquarters here in Seattle, almost as soon as they vacated the office space, that building was demolished. Now, today, the retaining wall still exists, and there is a mural dedicated to some of the fallen Black Panther Party members that you could still see today. That's on East Spruce Street and 20th. And I think part of the effort here to preserve the legacy of the Panthers is to avoid losing more of those historical and cultural touchstones here in Seattle.
I did want to ask about this. There's a push nationwide, in fact, to preserve Black Panther history. And how is Seattle fitting into that?
Right. You know, in Chicago, there are several landmark sites that were recently redesignated to acknowledge the Black Panther history there. And the National Park Service, they are looking into potentially creating a sort of national park trail that would acknowledge certain key historical sites related to the Black Panther Party across the country. Here in Seattle, I think the goal is to create a what organizers are calling an interpretive center and research space. So this would be a place to preserve not only artifacts, photos, documents, posters, newspapers from the party, but also create a space where young people or students can learn from elders from the party, can learn about this history in a way that really brings it to life.
And is Seattle's mission reflecting the national push, or are there things unique about what Seattle is trying to do?
I think after the 50th anniversary of the establishment of the Black Panther Party in Oakland, that really jump-started a lot of this effort across the country. I do think that what's happening here in Seattle, this is the largest effort that we're seeing outside of Oakland. There is a Black Panther Party museum fully dedicated to the history of the party down in Oakland where it was founded. Mm. But the effort that we're seeing here in Seattle is unique. However, having talked to some supporters outside of Seattle that are connected to the Black Panther Party at large, I would say that there is hope that the effort that we're seeing here in Seattle might play out in other chapters outside of Washington. You know, the goal being that maybe the work that's being done here in Seattle might serve as a kind of blueprint or playbook for other chapters to create similar museum spaces or interpretive centers or exhibits.
And you spoke to living founders of Seattle's Black Panther Party for your piece, including Elmer Dixon, who we heard from earlier. What is motivating them to preserve Panther history right now?
You know, like I was saying before, history is fragile and people get older. And I think there's a real urgency here that founding party members are aging. In some cases, some have passed away. And the mission of safeguarding the teachings and the lessons learned and the mistakes made of the party, that's really important to these folks. Preserving it for future activists, for future students, for folks who are interested in just seeing the world become a better place. I think the thing that I found really interesting is many of the issues and the causes that the Black Panther Party here in Seattle was fighting for, it's not very different than what we see today.
I was wondering about this. Yeah, if the party's concerns in the 60s and 70s, education, healthcare,
right,
food on your plate, how much has changed?
Right. You know, I think actually having talked to a couple of party members, I think there is a bit of sadness because when they got into this, they thought of themselves as revolutionaries who were going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And decades later, many of the issues that they were fighting for haven't necessarily resolved. I mean, part of their 10-point program, the ideals that they were fighting for were decent housing for all,
yep,
employment for all, an end to police brutality, free healthcare for all marginalized and oppressed people. These are things that people are still debating over, fighting over today. But I talked to the director of the museum down in Oakland, and he said something really interesting to me, which is we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I think for some of these party members, there is a feeling that they can share their knowledge, share this history, and we can fight for a better future, one that looks a little like the one that they were fighting for decades ago.
And they are taking this new energy at preservation and possibly putting a museum together, a museum hopefully coming together as soon as next year in Pioneer Square. What are some elements of what people would see there? What's the museum going to have?
Right. I think some of the things that people might see are photos that have never been released before, especially some that are taken by Panthers themselves versus by photojournalists at the time. There's going to be artifacts, documents, posters, newspapers, original clippings, some of the unique artifacts relevant to the Seattle Black Panther Party. So one funny thing is that the sandbags that were used to line the walls and windows of their office, those are sandbags filled with sand, literally from Alki Beach. And I think there's also a hope that there might be an interpretive element here. So a way to kind of bring to life this history. One of the ideas that they had spitballed was potentially doing a reenactment of some of the teachings when Bobby Seale came up to Seattle. And so people could listen with bated breath at the things that he is saying and learn what it was like to be, you know, a young Panther learning for the first time what it meant to be a Panther. So
bring those scenes from Garfield in the 60s to modern day.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. And did I hear also about a potential walking tour?
Yes, I think because you can see these traces across the Central District, I think that there is a hope that some of these sites across the neighborhood could be linked together in a walking tour across the city. And so people could visit a museum, learn a bit about the history, and then learn up close and personal a little bit more. So they could go to the People's Wall and learn what it was like to be at the office, or they could go to the Dixon home where the party was initially founded and learn about what it was like to listen to Bobby Seale for the first time, about what it meant to be a Panther.
So we may see a walking tour created. We may see some interpretive events and reenactments and a museum. When will we see this happen?
I think the goal from organizers is that a interpretive center will open up in Pioneer Square by early next year. So it's a little bit of a ways away. And then long term, organizers are hoping to establish a primary interpretive center in the heart of the Central District, you know, because really that is where the heart of the Panther Party is. And so that is some years away. I know that organizers are crunching the numbers and fundraising right now to get that off the ground, because it'll take a lot of money. But at least the museum is planned to open by early next year.
Alexandra Yoon Hendricks is the Seattle Times' race and equity reporter. Thank you so much for your time on this.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. An extra thank you to the listeners who donate to support the show. Today's episode was produced by Vaughn Jones. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Our production team also includes Claire McGrain, Andy Hurst, and Patricia Murphy. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR network. I'm Paige Browning. See you later.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.